gentlemen, welcome to MBM Wrestling. I am Michael Lindenbaum with my current partners in crime, Ben Taylor and Mansa Hernan. Gentlemen, how are you doing?
Yeah, sick, but good.
Your current partners in crime, which means there were partners in crime before us and will be afterwards?
Potentially. I mean,
there's no potentially about it. If there,
well, let's be honest. How many podcasts do I do? I do three of them.
But by saying current, right, you do say that there's going to be more to happen or has happened. Otherwise, it's not current, is it? It's just my partners in crime.
Well, let's be honest right here. We're doing the MCW episode today. My partner in crime for that episode was Dixon. Because you guys were down with the flu. And
So now you're blaming us for getting sick.
Right. You're blaming us for getting sick.
No, I'm not blaming you guys for getting sick, but I am thanking you guys for getting like sick, so I'm not having to do all that driving.
No. You ain't backing out of this one, shitlord. In case you hadn't guessed, this is an NSFW episode.
Yes, very
no,
much
this
so.
One's getting edited.
That's not 1S then.
Wait, hold on. We could start this over.
No, because you ain't backing out of this.
We haven't even done the plug for Patrick.
Good. Because I want you to suffer beforehand.
Okay.
You aren't blaming us for getting sick. Because it sounded like you were blaming us for getting sick. Like, boo, I had to record with Dixon. Even though I got to hang out at the awesome MCW show all on my own. And interview awesome wrestlers all on my own. And then go spend a day at the awesome Southern Maryland Comic Con.
I'm not going to lie.
No, shut your face. How dare you, sir?
I'm not going to lie. I actually did miss you guys for the drive to Southern Maryland.
Oh, so that's who you want to start as private partners now. Yeah. I see how it is.
Oh, man.
Word to the wise, Michael, if you ever actually get to propose to Eva Marie the way that you plan to, you probably want to treat her better than a rogue partner.
Oh.
I love you, man.
No, you love Eva Marie. That's the problem.
How you slide that in there is so great.
And he wants to slide it into Eva Marie.
And we're MBM Wrestling, and we always want to do our shout-out to our good friend Patrick Michael Strange of New Release Wednesday. You can go to YouTube, look up New Release Wednesday, subscribe today. They're also up on Facebook. And as we've already mentioned, this past Saturday was MCW, Maryland Championship Wrestling, in Frederick, Maryland, which, as we've already alluded to, I was the only one who was able to go to because, unfortunately, Ben and Mansa were down with the flu. How did you get the flu? You didn't even go to Ben.
Nope, I didn't.
Yeah, because I'm the only person who ever gets fucked.
I work in a public setting with I work at a library. So I'm constantly dealing with people. So if anybody sneezes or just so happen to have the flu at my job.
You know that actually sneezing and all that sort of stuff has literally zero to do with you catching colds and flu, right?
No, I didn't say I. Okay, then how do you catch colds and flus?
It's actually more about the gestation. Okay. The way that the. This is going to sound really nerdy. Said the man.
We are nerds. It's okay.
Right.
It's actually more to do if the what it's about breathing the germs in.
Okay.
So even if they just have like the germs and they're breathing in and out,
they're
going to infect you. Sneezing has flip nothing to do with it.
Wow.
but it did stink not having you guys around because. In all honesty,
you would have been less bored on your drive. Yeah,
right.
Screw you.
Well,
two.
No, actually, honestly, for the Frederick show, and Mansa, you know this, and everyone who's listened to our episodes in the past, you know, when Mansa and I did Monday Night Raw together, and we did the recording there, you know, it was a lot of fun because we were able to do the things in between the matches, commercial breaks, stuff like that, and we had something that was like, I would just say, magical. To where, you know, as the show is going on, you know, we're talking about the show and we're recording it.
Right. And the banter we had back and forth with each other was really great,
too. But the problem is that when it was like, I mean, my friend Dixon was with me, but not having you guys there, I couldn't really, because I wasn't sure if you guys would be okay with me recording with Dixon as a co-host. It was just like, well, I can't really just, it sounds stupid if it's just me talking into a microphone and like going, oh, this just happened and blah, blah, blah. And then it wouldn't sound right. So that's why I just stuck to doing interviews at the show, which we have a good amount of interviews to play for you guys today on this episode from the MCW wrestlers.
So I mean, even though speaking about the show, you didn't get it to say, you really didn't do the commentary for the show. How was the show itself?
I loved
it. Considering, like, before the show, when Mike was telling us about it, he used the word great about 82 times.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it was great.
It was great. I enjoyed it a lot. I had a lot of fun.
I just wanted to make sure he puts it on, it's out there for everybody to hear that great.
It was great because what it is, and Bruiser says it in the interview that I had with him, which you'll hear a little bit later. MCW brings in the best talent. There's a reason why they charge a little bit more for their shows, and it's because they bring in the best talent, and that's the key thing. And the talent that they bring in, there's just a really great chemistry amongst them all. Like, one of the matches is actually been is a best of five series for the MCW Rage Championship featuring...
Don't even get me started on that.
Brandon Scott and Drolix from Black Wall Street. And at Frederick, they had the fourth match, which Brandon Scott won to tie the series at two apiece, which next weekend in Windbear, Pennsylvania, will be match number five, which will also have Mick Foley at the show. Gotta plug the shows for MCW now.
Yeah, but I get to real talk a little bit later, right?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
You know, but the match that those two had, you know, it was a really good match. Yeah, it was the fourth match on the card, but it was a hell of a great match. The first match on the card with Ken Dixon versus G-Fed was a really good match to start the show. And then with the final match being a six-man tag with Leo Rush, MCW World Heavyweight Champion Bruiser, and X-Pac Sean Waltman versus the Entourage and King of Maryland Wrestling Richard O'Brien, that was just like a really good match. And just from top to bottom, great, great card overall. There's your 82 greats right there for you, Ben.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
What's up, Ben?
I'm just waiting for the real talk section, bro.
Go for it. Unless we want to go all to right. An interview first, then go to a real talk.
Let's do an interview first.
Yeah, okay. We'll segue into that.
All right. Well, we're going to start off. We're actually going to do two interviews because both interviews...
No, that wasn't the deal.
Oh. Well, these guys were involved with the big fatal four-way tag match. It just feeds into itself.
Okay.
Yeah. So first interview you guys are going to hear is with Oakley Woods of the Appalachian Outlaws, and the second interview will be with the Punk Rock All-Stars, and then after
so
that we'll be back.
So it's three interviews, because you're interviewing three.
No. I interviewed Punk Rock All-Stars together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's two interviews. Oh, sweet. Yeah. So after these two interviews, we'll be back, and Ben will have some real talk. And everyone, I am here with Oakley Woods, correct? Oakley Woods, part of the Appalachian Outlaw tag team faction here in Maryland Championship Wrestling. How are you doing? Great match tonight.
Thank you. I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
I'm living. I haven't been to a Maryland Championship Wrestling show. This is the first time and pretty damn good. Pretty damn good.
What did you think of it?
I enjoyed it. I thought a lot of the matches were good. I got to point this out right now about Bruiser, the MCW champion. He embodies a great champion because he really is able to get the crowd into it. That was like one of the first things I was able to notice and was able to bring great energy to the six-man tag team match tonight. So definitely enjoyed that.
Absolutely. I mean, as a worker, as a fan, like I look to Bruiser as a role model. He embodies a perfect superstar, a perfect sports entertainer.
Now, I got to ask this. What music were you guys coming out to?
We have.
Was it like Luke Bryan, Blake Shelton?
No,
like
no, 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 no. It's actually my partner, Hoss Haygood. He has a song. It's his thing, man. He loves it.
So just all diehard country fans, and it just meshed so well with the group.
Absolutely, just you know, hits us, speaks to us. You know, the ripping and dipping lifestyle, man. Sipping and dipping.
And now, of course, your character is called Oakley Woods. Give us an idea, and if you need to get into character for it, get into character. Tell the MBM universe what it's like to be Oakley Woods and the Appalachian Outlaws.
All right, well, Oakley Woods, I mean, himself, he is a backwoods almost psychopath. So, you know, for me, when I get into character, I'm a big horror movie fan, as you can see on the podcast, but as you can see, like, here, whole arm is covered in horror movie tattoos. So that's how I relate to this character. It is, for me, it's not so much a character, it's like an alter ego almost. Like, it's very easy for me to play this character. So when I get in the ring, you know, my mindset for me is just, you know, I start licking my lips. I start getting this, oh, yes, smack my head a bit, you know, just really get in this creepy character. And the audience, they react to it. Like, it's weird. They haven't seen anybody this psycho, you know, who's just ready to snap at, you know, they don't know what they're going to get with Oakley. You know, I can snap at the split of a dime. So it's fun for me.
I hope you don't snap on me.
We'll see how this interview goes.
Well, and you know, going into the match that you're in the fatal four-way tag team match for the number one contenderships to the MCW championships. It was you and your partner. And then you had the Dixon line, which, might I have to say, they are hilarious. that is a great tag team to watch. They're just so young and hilarious. It's fun to watch them. Then you had the Punk Rock All-Stars and the Hellcats, which, of course, the Hellcats won. How did you guys get into mapping that match? Because there's a really good spot, in my opinion, where all three tag teams are surrounding the Hellcats, and they're like, all right, one, two, and it's like, no, wait. And then they took out all of you guys. How do you guys, like, when you're in the locker room getting ready for this type of stuff, how do you map those types of spots, and especially a good one like that?
I mean, this match, it was a different type of match, because obviously we had three heel teams against one face team. That move they hit, the Mortal Kombat, always gets a huge pop. So in the beginning of the match, we wanted to really set the tone that, you know, this is them fighting, the chance to really fight, and we want to get the crowd into it. As you can tell, like, as soon as that move hit, the crowd erupted. They love the move, you know. We especially, you know, like, my style of wrestling, I'm very much like, I'm an 80s style wrestler. I keep it very simple. You know, I'm not into the high spots or anything, more of the character development, you know, the gimmicky moments that really, I think, get the crowd into. It's what got me into wrestling, you know, watching these moments like that, like, you really, like, it draws you in. That moment right there, you know, we knew back in the locker room talking about it, we knew that's the type of moment that we would have that would just capture the audience and get them drawn into the match, and especially in the beginning of the match, and have them hooked for the remaining of the match.
Right. And it was a great spot. It got me more into the match, too. It was like, oh, that was a really cool move. That was awesome. But let's talk to Oakley Woods. Let's get you in the character. Okay. Now, how do you feel, Oakley? You lost. What's your next move? And don't hurt me, please.
You see, you shouldn't have asked me about that.
I'm just going to move my chair a little further away.
How do I feel? Let me tell you. Hoss and I went in there, and we crushed the Hellcats. And if it wasn't for the Punk Rock All-Stars, we would have won. Been the number one contenders for that tag. You see, the problem is, you don't know what you're going to get with me next. So, I'd appreciate you if you got this mic out of my face.
And with that, we're going to go to a break. And I am now here with the Punk Rock All-Stars, Drake and
Shake Carter.
And Sean Cannon. No one ever gets your name right.
Yeah, it's taking a while. They're starting to pick up on it, though.
And I'm just saying this right now. This was my first ever MCW show. I was greatly entertained. I enjoyed the Fatal 4-Way Tag Team match that you guys were in for the MCW Number 1 Contenders match.
Thank you.
Going into a little bit backstory on your guys, how did your guys' tag team come about? And evolve to where it is today?
It was born out of failure. Both of us kind of were at the edge of our rope with our individual careers. Things just weren't working out, and then we were both trying to refresh our game, trying to get back into it. We were standing next to each other.
We were at the point where it was like a lot of people would just break and quit, and we don't do that.
Yeah, we kind of just banded together and decided if anyone was going to call it quits, it was going to be us. We're not going to have anybody tell us that we're garbage, so we kind of reformatted and then just joined up.
Yeah, total reboot.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, the reboot, great thing.
Thank you.
I love it so much. And we're being...
get out of here, Steve. Nobody likes you.
We're being podcast bombed by a member of the Hellcats.
Hey, what's up? This is Steve from the Hellcats. Yes, this is my real voice. I use a different voice when I'm in the ring, but I spend a lot of time in Atlantic City playing the slots, and Punk Rock All-Stars are my favorite tag team. Peace!
Thank you, Steve!
And, wow, and that's how you lose your train of thought on an interview. But, you know, saying that, like, how do you feel the crowd reactions have been to you guys since you've reformed or rebooted yourselves to become the Punk Rock All-Stars?
Mixed. I mean, some places hate our guts. Other places seem to start to love us, at least.
You start to figure out which people really like what's different. You know, we come out through that curtain, we look the way that we do with the makeup and the color and everything else. And, you know, you get those people that understand, like, okay, it's something different, it's something new. Then you get those traditionalists that are afraid to think outside the box, and they're the ones that boo.
Yeah. And now, I was talking to Oakley Woods earlier. There was the spot where you guys were all going to team up on the Hellcats, and then they turned it around.
They kicked us in the face.
Yeah, any advice to anybody ever thinking about something like that? Don't count out loud to the count of three, because the people you're going to attack will know when it's going to come.
Yeah, that was your brilliant idea, by the way.
Don't remind me.
And I just have to say, like, just the way it happened in the ring is like you're doing the count, and it's like, wait, stop. And then they do their move, from which I learned was the Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. We've been victim to that.
Well, see, we were thrown off because usually they do that with the dude in the corner. So when they just said it in the middle of us, it's like, wait, what? And the next thing I know, feet are coming.
Steve kicks hard. Steve kicks hard.
So does Jimmy, actually. He kind of caught me in between the chin and the sternum, like almost in my throat.
The beard didn't protect it?
I think it did a little because he didn't catch the Adam's apple.
Because with your beards, you would expect the beard to act as a cushion.
I think it did, because it was close.
Well, his will. Mine's too much braided on both sides, so it doesn't really offer much resistance to damage. I think they got a clear shot right here.
But with that said, where do you see you guys going in the future? Obviously, you guys are still considered, you're still gaining that ground right now. Where do you guys want to see yourselves, like, say, in a year?
Well, I mean, the last year and a half has been such a whirlwind, like, based on, I mean, coming from where we were about to quit to now we're, like, wrestling the Headbangers, we're wrestling Eddie Edwards, we're wrestling the FBI, we're about to do Shikara, and MCW is one of the top companies in the nation, and we're getting recruited by more and more places, so who the hell knows where we're going to be.
Yeah, I mean, we got surprisingly booked for Shikara next week. For two shows, which we're very excited about. And we never really thought that we were going to get this far this fast.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the roller coaster's been kind of clicking up, and now everything's just kind of swooping down. So, you know, Chikara one day, maybe Ring of Honor, NXT. I mean, New Japan, wherever is fine. Success would be great, but we're not really going to pin ourselves just to one place because just like us, like...
Well, it depends. Let's be honest.
It's just like us. It's all about just the thrill of the ride and wherever, whatever takes us, you know?
And it's a great... moral of the story essentially is just don't give up because hard work will pay off
eventually, yeah.
And this is where you get to.
Absolutely.
Because I mean that's essentially how both of us came into the business individually before we even knew each other, is that everyone said we can't do it, you shouldn't do it, and we came in with this screw it mentality, we're going to show you. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what saved our butts to get to where we are now.
Alright gentlemen, thank you so much.
Drake Carter.
And Sean.
Yeah, oh, almost.
Canyon?
Cannon, close.
Cannon,
close.
Ah, yes. And from that, we'll be back.
And we are back on MBM Wrestling with our MCW special. And Ben, you want to do some real talk now.
I got a couple of things that I want to real talk about.
Shoot.
First of all, I appreciate what they're trying to do with the best of five series for the Rage Championship, right? I appreciate what they're trying to do. But you aren't television, right? You can't do a best of, or as I know, the best of seven series, the Benoit Booker T thing that they did. You can't do that as effectively in a live setting? Question mark? Because if I had gone to the Maryland, if I, now, internet savvy aside, right? If I, as a first-time person, had shown up to
the show,
and been told, hey, here's this match that you're supposed to get invested in. By the way, you missed the first three, and you're missing the last one. I'd have been like, then why do I care? I'm not going to get to see the payoff, so... And?
Well, interestingly to say with that, MCW did announce at the show on Saturday that, they, first off, they record every show.
No. Solve my problem of seeing it live.
You can't. You can't do it while you say live. So unless the best of seven series takes place on the card. Like a King of the Ring. Like, there's no way that you can solve that problem.
Well, maybe when MCW unveils its streaming site, which every show that they do will be put up on there, starting effectively November 14th.
So that MCW could will have streaming.
Yeah. But for people who can't go to the show, that's how they can watch all the matches now.
Okay.
But that's not true. Because it is only October what?
20th? It is October 20th.
So at least another 25 days. Right? That doesn't stop me on the night. And don't get me wrong, I'm being a little bit nitpicky here. But if there's one thing I've preached about over the last so many episodes, it's booking in a way that makes your audience feel content, right? I would be discontent with basically being told, well, if you want to know the result of this, you have to wait 25 days. Yeah. And even then... The WWE couldn't launch a network without a bug. I doubt MCW will be able to.
Well, unless you are traveling with the show, like you feel like going to... What's the
I'm talking about your casual viewer, right? Yeah. Because at the end of the day, your hardcore fan, your us, for loss of a better term, right, are going to be the people that go out and get the DVD and the streaming service and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'm talking about the kind of person who this is their first show and they want to... they want to, like, get a complete experience, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
or at least, like, they want... They want, and admittedly, the fact that they might need to look for is going to keep them to come back, maybe. I don't know. But I mean, it just seems to me that doing a best of five series in a non-televised format kind of defeats the point, really.
I definitely see your point. But if you are a brand new person, and if they say, that, would you say this is the fourth match? It was a really good match, as you said, Mike.
Oh, I enjoyed the match.
Yeah, it'll get...
It was great.
Yeah, it was great. Then it should get the newbie to want to find out more, but to see the other matches, and then go to the next show.
But let's take, for example, right? Let's say I want to watch the other four matches in the Best of Five series. The only way to watch it, as it stands right now, is DVD.
Yeah, or
$20 per DVD.
Or I believe
you'll charge
YouTube.
Me $80.
Or YouTube, yeah.
I think it might be on YouTube, but through via
what?
Paid subscription.
You poop? Did you just say you
yeah.
poop? That's a different website, Mike.
No. I think via YouTube, via paid subscription.
Again, still, you're asking them to pay money.
I'm not sure 100% on
but
that.
But still, you're asking, you're putting someone in the position of having to pay more money for a payoff. Right?
Yeah, I see your point. You're more money to see the proceedings and then still the payoff. Mm. Because this is the fourth one. Yeah, I definitely see your point on that.
And I'm not saying that it's the worst thing in the world. It's a very interesting... what's the word I'm looking for? It's a very interesting format. I love the format
the best of five
best
series.
Of five,
best of series.
The best of series, right? but I just don't think it works well in a live-only format.
Yeah.
The matches could be absolutely outstanding, and they are by the sounds of things. By the sound of things, they're great. But I don't know, some of the tension will be lost.
And
you know what I mean?
And I actually did get to interview Brandon Scott, who is the current MCW Rage champion.
Mm-hmm.
One interview I tried getting, but due to time constraints, I couldn't get it, was Drolix, who is his opponent for the title.
His opponent, yeah.
And I was hoping to get the two of them, two separate interviews, put them back to back because of the whole feud that's going on, try to get the two different perspectives to try to build off of that. But unfortunately, I only got Brandon. But it's still a good interview. And Brandon, he's a good guy. And for a guy who's been wrestling for as long as he has, and he's like, I think he's like 26. You know, he's put in a lot of work to actually become as good as he is and to be a champion in a promotion like MCW.
No.
That's good earnings.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not poo-pooing the work that these people have put in. I'm just saying that in my opinion, it would have been a better payoff to just have a match for the Rage title.
Yeah.
Right? Because the match you saw literally did nothing. Right? The title wasn't at threat.
Actually, the title was at threat.
And it took it to 2-2.
The title was at threat because if Brandon Scott lost...
It wasn't on threat. It wasn't on threat at all, dude. Because because you look at a best of five series and go, well, it's going to go five.
Yeah, it's got to go five.
Otherwise, what's the point?
Right.
Has there ever been a best of five or best of seven series in the history of wrestling that has never gone the full distance?
Not that I can think of. Because it wouldn't make any sense if it didn't. You want the tension to go all the way down to the last match. You want to pull them in for every match. That's the purpose of the best of series.
And the other thing and this is just a really can we talk about hell of a stupid name? The
Rage Championship.
No. What's Kevin X's team called?
The Ectourage.
Yeah, can we talk about how stupid a name that is?
I didn't know what you were saying at first when you first said that name. I was like, what are you saying?
That's almost as bad as the submission sorority.
Yeah. The Ectourage. Hey, whatever. He got his own team.
That's essentially what it is. It's Kevin Eck with his entourage. It's the Ectourage.
They just call it Kevin Eck and his entourage. It's better than Ectourage. That's almost as bad as calling your stable bad.
Yeah, you don't want to do that, WWE. Oh, hilarious.
And with that, we're going to go to the Brandon Scott interview.
And everyone, welcome back. I am with now Brandon Scott, who is the MCW Rage Champion, who tonight tied up his best of five series at two matches apiece with Drolix. How'd that match go for you?
It was a brutal match tonight. I'm sore. I can barely walk. Drolix, he's put me through hell and back. He said he's done everything he said he's going to do. And it comes down to that final match, that important match, that fifth and final match. And that will determine who's going to be the MCW Rage TV champion. But right now, I hold that title. So he has to beat me in that final match to win. And Winburg, Pennsylvania, that's where it's going to happen next week, Saturday night. Bell time, 7:30. You can also see Mick Foley there. So, that fifth match,
you're going to pull out all the stops.
I have to pull out everything, man. Like,
How many kitchen sinks? Two or three? Maybe four?
Dude, probably four or five. It just depends, man, how I'm feeling. But I'm going to have to pull out all the stops. Because, you know, Black Wall Street, like tonight, they like to cheat. If you didn't see it, they love to cheat. The numbers are against me. The numbers are against me. It's like five of them and it's one of me. So, but I'm a fighting champion and I'm looking forward to walking out with that victory and retaining the title.
Now, let's just get a little background on you. Like, where do you come from? What got you into wrestling? What made you want to become the wrestler that you are today right now?
Since I was a kid, my father was a big inspiration on wrestling to me because that's all we watched when, like, that was our father-son bond time. I grew up with just my father. My mom left when I was two. So my dad, like, got me into wrestling when I was, like, 3 and 4 years old. He would take me to old WCW events. They would come to my high school, actually, the high school that I went to. They would come back in, like, 92, 93. And then when they got bigger, they stopped coming. But growing up, like, that's all I wanted to do. Like, as soon as I saw it for the very first time and actually saw a match, like, I knew that's what I was going to do the rest of my life. And it's just crazy, like, to think about where I'm at now and the people that I've met. I'm just so lucky and blessed and thankful for everything that I've earned. Like, I've never been handed anything. But, like, back to my father again. He was a big inspiration. Like, he would drive me around to different indie shows, different events. And, like, we would go every weekend. He'd drive me 2 hours, 3 hours. And then finally I found a school in Maryland called the Superior Pro Wrestling Training Center, House of Pain, ran by John Rambo.
Yeah, I know House of Pain up in Hagerstown, yeah.
It's been around a long time. It's had a lot of people come through. It has a lot of history. I started there when I was 16 years old.
Wow.
16, I've been doing this for 10 years. I actually won a contest to be a special guest referee. And that's where it all began. Like, as soon as I won that contest, ref that first match, I was hooked. Like, I was hooked before, but I was hooked that I wanted to sign up and do this. But I was a small kid. Like, I was 16 years old. I weighed 120 pounds soaking wet.
Okay. I'm 5'11". I'm 29. And I'm 125 pounds. I may be 130 wet.
yeah. Dude, yeah.
You got me beat.
I do got you beat now, but, like, It took a lot of hard work to where I got from, like, because I started out as a ref. I did that for about 2 years, and then I was training at that time to wrestle, but I wasn't ready for it. And then finally, John asked me if I wanted to have my first match, and I was like, yeah, you know. So from there, you know, that's where it began, and I began as the character of the giant killer Brandon Scott, because I was a 5'8 dude, 120 pounds, so everybody was bigger than me, so I had to play the character of everybody's a giant to me. And they're still a giant to me, but I've worked hard and I've gained the weight. I put on a lot of muscle. Right now I'm at 185 pounds, which is excellent. Like, at the beginning of the year I was about 197. I don't mean to go into all this weight stuff, but, like, it's just an interesting story if you don't know where I came from or what I did. I love this business so much. It just means the world to me. Like this is my goal. My goal is, like, to make it to the WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor. That's the goal. I'm on tunnel vision right now. That's what I want to do. There's nothing else I want to do besides professional wrestling. This is the life.
And, you know, with that said, you mentioned that WCW used to come to your high school gym. Gotta share a story. You need to share a story. Best event at your high school gymnasium from WCW.
Oh, man, I was so young, but I remember this for a fact. Harley Race was managing Vader. If you remember at that time, you know, Harley Race was always with the man they call Vader.
I started watching wrestling in late 2000, so I'm catching up on things through WWE Network.
Well, you definitely have to go back and watch the old WCW because it is fantastic. I'm an NWA WCW fan because the tag teams and the wrestling was just good wrestling. It wasn't all about the characters, the gimmicks. It was just pure wrestling. But back to the story I was going to tell you, I remember I hated Vader so much and Harley Race so much that I remember dropping the F-bomb on Harley Race. And I'm a 3-4-year-old kid being like, F you, Harley Race. You might have to blur that out, but I didn't really say it.
You didn't really say it. You're safe, my friend. You're safe.
But that's one of the interesting stories I remember. I remember seeing Ric Flair, Sting, the Road Warriors, the Steiner Brothers. I mean, you legit remember stuff like this because it means so much to you, man. Like, oh, man, it's just, I wish that I could go back in time and be the mind I have now of professional wrestling and watch it then. Like, oh, it's so much better. Like,
yeah, and actually, my first ever WWE live event was 2002. The Undertaker was the Undisputed Champion. It was a house show in D.C. He fought the Undertaker fought Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan.
And I was rooting for the Undertaker.
Yeah.
And this was actually Lesnar's rookie year in WWE.
Wow.
So, and I saw him wrestle Ric Flair at the house show. So, yeah, it's like especially like your first event, you always remember those, and that's like how you kind of get hooked into it too.
Yeah, you always remember your first match. You always remember your first championship belt. Things like that in wrestling you remember. You remember the first name you've worked. I mean, because like thinking of me as a kid, how small I am, and people like, oh, he's not going to do this. He's too small. He's not going to make anything of himself. And to be what I am now, to be wrestling for some of the biggest companies on the East Coast or in the world today, like, it's just amazing, dude. I can't even explain how I feel right now.
And hey, think of it like this. NXT with the whole indie revolution now that they got going on, especially now with Evolve, anything is, doors are just opening wide open now.
Dude, if those doors aren't open, I'll keep knocking. If someone doesn't answer, I'm going to kick those doors down.
Well, Brandon, thank you so much. And we'll see you next time, man.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, man. Thank you for having me on this, and really appreciate it.
No problem, man.
And everyone, welcome back to MVM. Ben, do you have more real talk you want to do, Ben?
I could find stuff to real talk about, dude. Like, the fact that we're recording this on Tuesday, the 20th of October, as I leaked earlier, right?
Mm-hmm.
And last night, WWE made this massive tweet saying John Cena will defend the title in an open challenge on Raw. And there was no open challenge.
There was no open challenge.
Only for it to be done now at Hell in a Cell.
Boom.
And Randy Orton randomly going AWOL in the middle of a storyline, right as they add a fourth person to the Wyatt family, which was duh. And we'll talk about this on the next show, because that's when we're actually recording the show. So tell me a little bit about the actual live experience about going to a Maryland wrestling show. Because for those of you that have never been to an independent show, right, and for many quote-unquote listeners, TNA is not an independent.
I was about to say TNA doesn't count.
Though some of their attendance recently. Going to an independent show is a very different feel. Than it's going boring. To like a Monday Night Raw or a SmackDown taping.
It's more intimate with a with a indie show because it's a smaller crowd. It's a more rabid crowd too at that, because a lot of them are like hardcore. Can't talk today. hardcore.
Turk Conrana, said Tony Schiavone.
But because there's a lot of hardcore fans that who follow the indie promotions religiously, and there are a lot of them that come to the shows regularly. And I think Frederick probably wasn't the best case for Maryland Championship Wrestling because it was a bit smaller. Because apparently, when you go to Joppa, Maryland, that place has like 1,000 people for their shows. Because that's the actual MCW arena.
Okay. Joppa's not that far outside of Baltimore, and Ring of Honor goes there, and they have a huge attendance, which is like 500 people. Yeah. And so, you know, it's a wrestling crowd.
But with the show in Frederick, I mean, it still looked like for what they had for the setup with the chairs and everything, it was still a sellout. Mm-hmm. The crowd was in it from start to finish, and I got there like hour and a half early because obviously I wanted to get a feel for the place and, you know, see what I can do press wise. And, you know, there were like 10, 20 people already lined up outside, and they're like some of the hardcore fans that come to like every MCW show.
Nice.
And, you know, and it's like that one word I used earlier, it's intimate because like the wrestlers know them and they're able to play off of them so easily. Like one tag team that, you know, I told you guys off the air, which is hilarious. It's the Dixon Lion security team. They are freaking hilarious because they go up to the kids and the kids would be like booing them and they'd be like, yeah, you cheer for us, right? And they're like clapping their hands in front of them. It's just like, and then they'll be like, I'm on the, cause they did a fatal four-way tag team match. As I mentioned earlier, the Hellcats versus the Punk Rock All-Stars versus Appalachian Outlaws versus the Dixon Lion security tag team. And they're on the ring ropes and everyone's chanting for the Hellcats. And they're like, Dixon Lion, Dixon Lion. It's like just those things that they do. And like what some of the other wrestlers did throughout the night, it was just, it was great. It was fun to see them do that and fun seeing how all the fans interacted with them too throughout the show. So yeah, it was cool. And actually, I can't wait for next month, November 14th, in Joppa, Maryland, at the MCW Arena, because
that's gonna be all
because
amazing.
That will be our next MCW special there.
Yeah. Oh, that's gonna be so much great.
So much great.
Yep. So much great.
MCW is great, so we say great like 1,000 times throughout the episode.
Exactly.
I hate you both so much.
And it, actually, you know what? And let's because we haven't touched base on this yet, let's talk about Mickey James because she was at the show. Mickey James was at the show. I couldn't get an interview with her. However, I do have an interview with Amber Rodriguez, a quick little one, who was her opponent. She actually defended the MCW Women's Championship.
And we're going to insert that interview now just to really muck up Mike's timing.
All right, MBM, I am now here with Amber Rodriguez, the competitor who went up against Mickey James tonight for the MCW Women's title. Amber, how was it like to be in the ring with Mickey James?
It was fun, as always. It was our fourth time working together, I believe, fourth or fifth time. And it gets better every time. She's a really great opponent to have, and, you know, learn a lot from her.
And being a former WWE Diva that she is, former Women's Champion, WWE Divas Champion, TNA Knockout Champion, how much have you been able to learn from her being where she's been in the industry?
I can't even really put it into words. Every time I work with her, I learn so much just from talking to her, you know. She has so much advice to give, and, you know, because she's been to where, you know, typically we want to go. So it's really nice to get to learn from her and get the opportunity.
And what are your thoughts? Obviously, you probably have watched all of NXT, TakeOver, Respect. No, you haven't? No.
I haven't watched wrestling lately.
You wrestle, but you haven't been watching wrestling.
Not lately.
Not
You need to watch Takeover Respect, the Iron Man match between Bayley and Sasha Banks. I was going to go somewhere with that.
I thought it was really good. But
you just shot it down. No, but seriously, though, with NXT, the women wrestlers stepping up and then bringing more notice to women's wrestling, how do you feel that is for you? Because of you're in the indies now, you want to work to get up to there. How do you feel with those doors opening? How do you feel with your chances right now, especially working with Mickie James?
Not just me, but it should make every woman on the indies.
I'm asking you specifically because you're.
I know. Just let me give my answer. It should make every woman on the indies more confident, just like it makes me more confident. It should raise up, you know, your hopes to get in there because they're showing us that we have a chance, you know.
And most importantly, because we've been talking about you wrestling, Mickie, and all this stuff, what got you into wrestling? What made you go, I have to be in the ring and I have to do this?
Well, just watching Shawn Michaels alone, it was inspiration just from watching him. And, you know, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I want to do this. When I was 15 is actually when I sought out a wrestling school and started training.
Very nice. Well, Amber, thank you very much for coming on, and we will see you at another future MCW show.
Yeah, thank you. No problem.
And welcome back from the Amber Rodriguez interview, where Ben apparently decided that we're just going to cut to an interview. But we couldn't get Mickie James on for via interview due to timing issues, which is perfectly fine. There's always future events.
She has a Wii one to worry about now.
Yeah, she actually had the Wii one with her, and
I hear it's it's almost too cute for its own good.
Oh, it is. Oh, okay. No. Here's the best story. I'm upstairs outside the locker room talking to some of the wrestlers, and Mickie James is outside with her kid, and she's got to put her kid in the stroller, so that way she can go back into the locker room to get ready for the match, and the kid's crying. And then the kid looks over at me and starts smiling. And then I go, yeah, I know. Normally when people look at me, they start laughing too. And the kid starts laughing. And it's seeing the bright smile on her kid's face was just awesome. Great, great little one right there. And Ben is not amused with that story at all.
I'm sorry, what? I'm sure it was great.
Yeah. But Mickie James had a good match with Amber Rodriguez. The only thing I will say, and this is the only bone I have to pick with the show, the finish was very sloppy. Because the match ended with a roll-up. Because so Amber Rodriguez...
The Trendy Divas roll-up.
And it's not a knock on either of them, because I know that they didn't mean to botch it, but Amber...
Because if you do it wrong and you meant it, it's not a botch.
Yeah.
Because the whole point of botching something is something that's unintentional.
Yeah, but Amber Rodriguez goes to spear Mickie James when she's near the ropes. Mickie sidesteps her, and Amber spears her manager off the ring apron. Or no, she spears her in the ring. And then he rolls out of the ring. She's running over, looking at him. She's like, oh, my God, are you okay? I'm so sorry, so sorry. And then Mickie goes for a roll-up. But the way the roll-up happens is that Amber kind of doesn't fall back. She kind of falls to the side. And then they had to redo the roll-up again. And it was like one of those weird, like, I don't think they meant to do that. That didn't look good type finishes.
And that's a definite botch.
Yeah. But that was like the only bone I had to pick. Otherwise, the rest of their match was really good. We had all seen Mickie James matches before, and seeing her wrestle somebody that we haven't seen, I haven't seen her wrestle, or you guys haven't seen her wrestle, was actually kind of refreshing, actually, because it's a different type of person with a different type of style. So that was pretty cool as well. And I said cool about 20 times already in this episode as well.
Yeah, it's just a great word.
And with that, we're going to go into our interview with MCW Champion Bruiser.
We already used that one.
No, we didn't.
Damn it. I was trying to catch you off guard.
And everyone, I am back with the MCW World Heavyweight Champion, Bruiser. How you doing, Bruiser?
I'm doing great. What is this podcast called?
This is MBM Wrestling.
MBM Wrestling. Whenever I listen to a podcast, I listen to MBM Wrestling. That's probably not true because I had to ask you what it was even called.
But you know what? We'll turn that into a plug and we'll go with it.
I like it.
And now, one thing I just mentioned to you, and I mentioned it earlier in the Oakley Woods interview, was I was very impressed with how you're able to bring the entire crowd into the match. You're able to get them to start chanting for you, for Leo Rush, for X-Pac. And then, of course, you suck towards the Entourage and King. Whoever the King guy is.
The Queen.
What has helped you in your path as a professional wrestler to actually develop that persona that actually gives you the confidence to really get the crowd into it like the way you did tonight?
We're in 2015, right?
Yeah.
I started in 1997.
So, before I started watching wrestling.
Yeah, I've been doing this for a long time, and I've got to work all the top guys, you know what I mean? I've been the face of MCW pretty much since MCW started, and they bring them in, I get to work them, and I don't just work them for getting myself over or making myself think I'm great. You know, I work them so I learn how to get better and then I can teach other guys what to do. You know, I pick these guys' brains when they come in, the superstars of the world. You know, I pick their brains. I find out why they're superstars. You know, I ask them these questions. They tell me what's up, and then I take that, I pass it on to my guys, and I try to practice it in my ring ability.
And with that said, which is one of the best, you know, superstars per se that you've actually gotten to work with where you were able to pick their brain and really learn some nice, juicy knowledge that has really stuck with you?
My dream match happened back in 2001, I believe it was. It was me versus the Franchise Shane Douglas, and our referee was Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. So talking that match over with them guys and getting that stuff together and then being able to pick their brain afterwards and find out what I did wrong and what I can do to get better, man, that was just an incredible experience.
And actually, I've had the honor of meeting Shane Douglas. I actually got to talk to him for like 2 hours at a indie show in Gaithersburg, Maryland.
And you probably got smarter being able to do that. You know?
Yeah, probably, because just the knowledge that he shares with you is just like immense.
And he breaks it down and explains it to you piece by piece. He tells you why you do this, you know, why A comes before B, which comes before C, and then why F is after E. You know, he tells you everything. He doesn't leave it hanging halfway.
And because this is actually my first Maryland Championship Wrestling show, I have to say I was very impressed with everybody who performed in the ring tonight because, you know, being just watching WWE or NXT or TNA, you know, you're used to seeing what a TV product is. Mm-hmm. Coming out to an indie show, you know, it's a different feel, and especially when you're in a crowd, even if it's a small crowd, not like 10,000, 15,000 people, there's still that really good vibe. Yeah, that was felt.
What you get at an MCW show is you get top-notch talent because we don't book every ham and egg around. We book our guys that come out of the MCW Training Center. You can go on MarylandWrestling.com to get information on that or any information about anything going on with Maryland Wrestling. You get our guys, and we book the top guys because we get video downloads and stuff all day, every day with guys wanting to come work for us. So we don't have to go out and find the talent. The talent comes to us and we get to see what they got. And we pick the best guys to work because we charge a higher price for our tickets, but we put on a better product. You know, it's not, and we deliver who we say is going to deliver. We don't like to book, you know, Ric Flair and tell you Ric Flair's coming and then he's not there. He's there. Road Warrior Animal is not here today. He was
but
here.
That was a given circumstance he that he couldn't
night.
Control.
He had unforeseen circumstances. His family. He had to fly out. Yeah. Okay, that stuff doesn't happen too often with us. You know, we normally deliver.
And you definitely delivered tonight. And I will say this: we are all planning on being at the show on November 14th in Joppa, Maryland, which ironically has Ric Flair.
Ric Flair.
Which Ben
Tully
is a
Blanchard. And don't forget
J.J.
Dillon.
Yeah, and Ben, obviously, who isn't here, massive, massive Ric Flair fan. So he's really ready
and
for that
Joppa,
show.
Joppa is the MCW arena. You know, it's a whole different feel there. That place will be packed You know, there'll be 1,000 people crammed in that building, and it's the energy level in that building is insane. It's insane.
With that, Bruiser, I'm not going to hold you up anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, the MCW World Heavyweight Champion, Bruiser. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to MVM Wrestling, where we try to mess up all the cues for any interview that we try to put on the show.
Oh, no, there was no mess up. I was doing it intentionally.
Right. He was trying to get you.
I was trying to get you to go, wait, what?
Nope. Because we got one more interview we got to do.
Ooh.
And this one wasn't even done at MCW. We're actually saving one MCW interview for a future episode. Because I was actually at, this happened by luck. I was actually at another show in Chantilly, Virginia the weekend before. And they had 3 WWE Hall of Famers there. And I got one of them. And that was
it Eva Marie?
No, Eva Marie's not in the WWE Hall of Fame. Mm. Give her about 50 years.
Couldn't he said WWE Hall of Fame, not Mike Hall of Fame.
Couldn't tell because the way you speak about her, she's like
And you know what? You know what?
Ladies and gentlemen, that is what you call flustered.
I love you guys so much.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. Yeah.
But you love Eva Marie.
But you know, but on a more serious note, there is something I do want to say. MCW would also not be possible without Dennis Ripreck and Dan McDivitt, the owners of MCW.
Massive shout out to Dennis, by the way.
Massive shout out to Dennis and Dan. They do a great job. They put out great shows. They promote it very well. But not only that, but we also need to do a shout out to all the wives, girlfriends, kids, essentially the families of all the wrestlers as well. Because a lot of them sacrifice a lot for these guys and girls to live their dreams. And
we were saying before the show started that when we had contact with MCW, Ben and I, we met some of the, well, I think it's a couple of the wives and girlfriends of the wrestlers beforehand. Before we even met any of the wrestlers, any of the owners, they were there manning a booth at Baltimore Comic Con. Mm-hmm. So they are very dedicated to MCW and making sure that it's the best show that you can see. So yeah, definite and, massive shout out.
And not only that, but what they also do is that if you come to the shows, they actually have tables set up there. And
sell merch and stuff.
To sell merch for the wrestlers and stuff like that. And that's run by the wives and the girlfriends. And, you know, they do that while watching their kids at the same time, too. Like, they'll be working the tables and watching their kids at the same time. So it's a tough job to do. And they deserve a lot of credit and a lot of props for what they do. And with that, do we want to end the episode with this interview? And
nope.
Have it no? Do the interview, then come back and talk about the interview?
Yep.
All right. And with that, we're going to go to the interview that I conducted at the CSA shows in Chantilly.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a special interview on MBM Wrestling. I'm Michael, and with me is 2015 WWE Hall of Famer, Big Daddy Cool, Kevin Nash. Kevin, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh,
and
thanks.
Most importantly, thank you for coming out to the CSA show here in Chantilly.
Very nice.
How have you been enjoying Virginia?
It's great.
Great?
Yeah, it's nice.
And I just want to ask you a few questions. Obviously, this is for MBM Wrestling. What was it like going into the Hall of Fame back in earlier this year?
I mean, it's great. You know, it's a hell of an honor. I was stoked. It's a good weekend.
And I watched all the WWE Network stuff when they did Click Week. They did a special on you. And one thing that you said, that one of the more memorable things for you, for your career, was seeing Scott Hall go into the Hall of Fame because of his past demons. You were afraid that he wouldn't live to see that moment, but he did.
Right.
What was that moment, you know, that you could describe for us?
Well, I mean, it was just that, Scott had his demons, and it was just nice to see him, you know, get in the Hall of Fame and get the credit he so deserved for the career he had. Like I said, you know, him going in was a highlight, I think, for all of us.
And now three members of the Clique are in, including Shawn Michaels as well. Triple H is definitely a lock to go in the near future. What about Sean Waltman? Where do you see him with in regards to WWE Hall of Fame?
I mean, he's the only member that was, you know, in both DX and the NWO, and an important member in both. I think that when he left WCW and went to WWE, I think that was one of the things that helped turn the tide. So his place in history is cemented as anybody else's, and I don't think that you can put the Clique in and not put all five, because we, you know, it's pretty much a group.
And of course, this past Wednesday, you were at NXT TakeOver Respect. They had the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic wrapping up at that, and plus the 30-minute Iron Man match between Bayley and Sasha Banks. What was your overall impression of the event?
I thought it was good. I thought Corbin and Rhino had a great tag match against the Gables. It's the Gable kid.
Gable and Jordan.
Yeah, Jordan. I thought that was a great match. I knew the girls would be great. I thought they told a great story. It was great. I mean, it was nice to be a part of history. I mean, I'm a huge fan of NXT, and it did not didn't let me down.
And would you be interested if Triple H offered you a coach role for NXT to help coach the young guys that are coming up in gals?
That would help. Individually, that would help guys out, but I don't want. Work too hard to have a schedule. I don't want a 9-to-5 job. That's why I got into this in the first place.
Yeah, but what do you think with NXT? How do you see the future of WWE when Triple H takes over, you know, Raw and SmackDown, the main roster, when you see him take over? Do you see like NXT as that seed of what it could be?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the key to wrestling is that the matches have to mean something, whether they be championships on the line, or whether they be feuds. But there's no reason. It doesn't matter who wins or loses a match, then why have it? So, and I think that's kind of where NXT is. Is, you know, it's, people don't kick out of each other's finishes. You know,
fans going to hear this and he's going to like up to stand and applaud that statement.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate when a guy hits his finish 9 times in a match, and, you know, it's the 11th time it actually sticks.
So. Or it's that, oh wait, I'm going to do it off the top rope now. Put you through a table.
Well, that's nice. I was watching a match, and I saw a guy do a 450, and kicked out on 1.5. Like, where do you go? If a 450 is kick out on 1.5, what at what point is, you know, punch, what is it, what are you throwing a punch for?
And just real quick, because we've got to wrap up soon, I just want your thoughts on Dusty Rhodes and Roddy Piper, both who we lost this year, unfortunately. Just your thoughts of being able to work with those two gentlemen.
I mean, it was just, you know, they're two of a kind. They'll never be duplicated. And that's as old school as it gets. And, you know, I know that Dusty was down there working. I know that he passed a lot of his knowledge on to a lot of those young kids. We'll get their influence in the years to come. They'll be missed.
And with that, Kevin, thank you so much for coming on MBM Wrestling for this exclusive interview at the CSA show in Chantilly.
And welcome back to MBM, guys. And hope you enjoyed the interview with Kevin Nash. Guys, what were your thoughts on the Kevin Nash interview?
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Bay. Go ahead. He's got a voice I could listen to forever.
Yeah. Like, he was so laid back and chill. But, you know, and everything he said was right on point and poignant.
And I know that you love that one thing where he said that when it came to the main roster, about the finishing moves. Yes.
That's what Ben and I have been talking about forever.
Like, and then they hear it from Kevin Nash.
Yeah. Kevin Nash has been saying it. Austin's been saying like literally everyone has been saying it. Like there's the running joke about the AA at this point, where like it doesn't matter who he hits it on and they'll kick out at two.
Right.
Like.
Yeah,
John Stewart would have kicked out at two.
Yeah, I mean, it takes away from the impact of having a finishing move, which it's what's supposed to be a finishing move. So, what's the use if you're going to kick out of it in two? It's just a regular move at this point. Yeah. And normally, when people have a quote unquote finisher that's now weakened, they usually bust out a brand new move. Not John Cena, not most of these guys. So, what's the use of having it?
And what were your guys' thoughts on Kevin Nash's comments on the Hall of Fame, like both Hall and Waltman?
I'm not going to comment on the Hall stuff, the Sean Waltman stuff. I mean, he's got to be a Hall of Fame. He's a guaranteed first ballot Hall of Famer. Right?
And, I mean, why wouldn't he be? Because, I mean, the only guy who's been – he's a member of the clique. He was both DX and NWO.
During the Monday Night Wars.
Right. Plus, he look at his career as the 1-2-3 kid going forward. Like, he was a small guy who got notoriety having a segment, really, with Scott Hall. I mean, but he was taking on a giant, basically, to him. So he was, for the little smaller wrestlers on WWE programming, he did a lot for that. So it's so much about Sean Waltman that earns him the right to be in the Hall of Fame. At least in my opinion.
And obviously, Ben, we're going to save the NXT talk for the next episode. Mm-hmm. But we'll talk about Nash's comments about NXT and how much he loves it on the next one. But overall thoughts on Nash, just real quick.
Like, on Kevin Nash overall or on the interview?
Interview and overall on Nash.
Like, I love me some Kevin Nash, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's the greatest ever. I'm not even saying he's in, like, the top 40, right? But Kevin Nash is one of those people who will be forever remembered.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He was one of the faces of the Monday Night Wars. He's
the reason there are guaranteed contracts. Regular now. That's more regular.
If you listen to the Eric Bischoff interview, that might not necessarily be the case. He and Scott Hall are the reason that guaranteed contracts are commonplace.
Mm-hmm.
He will forever. There's a reason why. See, it's really hard to put into words my thoughts about Kevin Nash, because Kevin Nash is a guy I wish had known to call it quits earlier than he did. Right?
Right.
And just step back and become a road agent and do whatever, right? Instead, we had to go through him doing the whole thing with CM Punk, and we had to go through the stuff with him in the TNA X division, and which, for a lot of people, was the sign of the downfall of the X division. You know what I'm talking about, man. So,
yep, sure.
The whole like turning Jay Lethal into Macho Man, and
yeah, the Macho Madness.
But the point being, right? Kevin Nash left an indelible legacy on this business, and every opportunity that the WWE get, they remind us of this. Especially when it comes to like the Hall of Fame time or any time Triple H is on TV. And there's this ongoing legacy that was left behind by him that I'm thankful for, because it led to like the wrestling having to up its game. Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah, I'm more pro Kevin Nash than anti Kevin Nash. Also, finger poke.
Ah, the finger poke of doom. The finger poke of doom.
And Mansa, how about you?
I think Ben pretty much summed it up. I mean,
damn right, I did.
As a kid, I was a huge Diesel fan, and then seeing that transition onto WCW was like mind blowing. I think that turned the tides for WCW for me, because I didn't watch WCW until that moment. So he, in my opinion, will be the one that got me to watching WCW wrestling and wanting to know more about it. But yeah, Kev definitely is going to be remembered forever and for various reasons. As a wrestling fan, as a just somebody who's not into the wrestling as much wrestling as we are, you know, the behind the scenes game, I think he still has an indelible mark, as Ben has pointed out, because we always see him on WWE programming. He's always been brought up. So yeah, he is definitely a person who has long time staying power, and it's not a bad thing, not a bad thing at all. In my opinion, he is one of the great big men. But you know, it's not very many of my I have. So but
that's, I might that's go another, so.
That's a discussion for another.
I might go so far as say he might be the best.
Yeah.
Tall guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking. Yeah, so when I talk about big, I mean really tall. Tall guys instead. I shouldn't just say big men.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely like tall giant. Yeah, that wise.
And with that, sorry to gonna wrap this up. Fun. And with that, this has been MBM Wrestling. He's been Ben Taylor, Mansa Herndon. I'm Michael Lindenbaum. Follow us on Twitter at @MBM_wrestling. We also want to do our shout out to Patrick Michael Strange. New Release Wednesday. Go to youtube.com. Look up New Release Wednesday. Subscribe today. They're also up on Facebook. And we also want to do a huge thanks to Maryland Championship Wrestling. For more information on Maryland Championship Wrestling, go to marylandwrestling.com.